30. Known as the king of the rant, Lewis Black uses his trademark style of comedic brilliance to make people laugh at the absurdities of life, current events, social media, politics, and the hypocrisy and madness in the world. For tickets and information, visit ReadingCivic.com. All right, y'all. Hope y'all are enjoying your Valentine's Day. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Statman and Brad, let's start the show.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show. Fully loaded today, I am your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
We got our resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it, because you can't take this money with you, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And of course, the king of cringe, the bathroom bandit, the Jew for Jesus, Statman Brad.
Yeah.
All right,
I can't
there
do
we
my
go.
Own job.
All right. Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Grand entrance.
I gotta say, happy Valentine's Day to you and yours.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm tired of Valentine's Day.
Agreed.
Right now.
Like, absolutely agreed.
I can just go with it right now.
All right, you ready for it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people have been in a relationship for less than 90 days are posting about your Valentine, chill out, okay? High likelihood it's not going to work out, okay?
Bit aggressive right there, and terrible timing on your behalf to start a relationship right
then.
Absolutely. No better out there. To all the guys, ladies, I get it. You just want to get something out there. Guys, avoid it at this point in time. You know, if it's brand new, then maybe just say, hey, you're lucky that you got somebody to even talk to on Valentine's Day. But it's got to be solidified and for real if you're actually going to go out on Valentine's Day,
yeah.
Brave the crowds, off, because you're showing off on that's all it is. It's all a pomp and pomp and circumstance for the people out there. It's a show.
It is a show.
Yes.
And shout out to all the real ones like myself that don't go out on Valentine's Day, because why would I pay 40% above market value because it's Valentine's Day when I could literally take my fiance out, which I'm going to do on Thursday, and that's going to be our Valentine's Day. And guess what? The prices will be the same as it is every other day of the year, except on Valentine's Day.
And you don't have to worry about the flowers you have to go through as well. They get hiked up then. And I had to be at a job where it was required if you were dating somebody in that office, you had to have flowers delivered to said office.
What?
And the bigger the better. Well, the bigger the had to be, the better.
Yeah.
You had to be. You can't bring in a little dainty little pot
of
flowers.
You had to be the biggest.
No. This has got to be a bouquet, legendary status.
Yeah, it's got to be like a forest of flowers.
Like you might as well have like a giant teddy bear in there too.
Yeah.
Maybe some chocolates. And you know what? Why not have a little string quartet bring them the whole deal?
Why
okay?
not?
Because you got to do it in that office environment because they're all judging you on what you get and how well your significant other treats you on that day. I should say, because it's just for women. Guys, don't give two hoots and a holler.
Damn,
if you got something from you, like, wow, you actually got something from your significant other on Valentine's Day? Good on you, my man.
Yes.
But women, you're expected. You have to.
That probably caused some fighting in the office, you know, because like, oh, your flowers are way better than mine. What's up, Greg?
100%. Oh, yes. Like, the amount of stories I heard, yes, from my ex at the time, from their that group of friends of like, oh, wow. he didn't get him flowers at all. Or dead. You know, might as well 6 feet under right now. You know? All right? Count him off. All right?
Thank you to John, who is checking out our live Instagram feed, which you should be doing as well. TBP, not a game on Instagram, who laughed at two hoots and a holler. Yes. The over under 50 years old on the average person that uses the phrase two hoots.
Well, I gotta get creative with what I can say out
That's
here.
That's no doubt.
You know?
I'd rather you say that.
Yeah, exactly. Than what yes. I usually would say. So I just throw it back to what I know is safe. And hoots Fair and a holler. Enough. Can't go wrong with that.
Fair enough. All Did right? you have a grinds my gears before we keep it pushing?
No, I feel like you guys kind of already touched on all the things I was going to grind my yeah. gears. So
okay. Well, I'm sorry to.
It's all good.
Steal your
I mean,
thunder there, my friend.
It usually happens.
Okay. Well, moving on.
This is a guy that knows romance well, okay? All right, yeah. He knows how to wine
bathroom
okay?
scents. That's all that matters.
Oh, my God. Mm.
Smells like Glade in there.
Hey.
More of a eucalyptus type of a guy.
Moving on. We had a football game yesterday.
Did we?
I thought we had a concert.
Well, we had a concert as well. But we had the last football game of the NFL season. So no more football that counts until September of this year. So
The USFL's coming back, okay? So watch out, okay? That's where it really counts, okay? You can really make your name and you're pressed for the gold jacket with the USFL if you can't make the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not the NFL Hall of Fame. It's the Football Hall of Fame. So any type of football. So if you succeed in the USFL, gold jacket might be coming your way.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's fair.
You might have to buy it yourself, but you too could get a gold jacket.
So let's start with the game itself real quick. We're going to have John on in a few minutes to talk about some prop bets he hit on and some gambling stuff because he had a hell of a night. But before we get to that, I just want to talk about the game itself because there's a couple things that really stood out. And I think if we've learned anything, it's just don't make Aaron Donald upset.
Nope.
Joe Burrow's running to the sidelines. Aaron Donald pushes him pretty aggressively before he goes out of bounds. And then one of the offensive linemen comes up and puts his hands on Aaron Donald's collar and is, you know, not really trying to fight him, but definitely got in his face. And after that, Aaron Donald decided no more.
That's it.
I'm done being blocked for the rest of the game. And he just, it was tackle for loss, sack, 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 and then a sack to end the game. Well, I guess, was it technically a sack? No, because Gerald, it was an incompletion.
Yeah,
it was
the ball, yeah.
But yeah.
A QB pressure underway.
QB pressure to
he
game.
Is yeah. He is a living, breathing Hulk right now.
Yeah.
In terms of his action, he is an unblockable madman on your defensive line, and truly made everyone realize how crappy Cincinnati's offensive line is.
Horrible.
And how the fact that anyone could survive back there. Everyone get on a knee for that man right there, okay? Bend a knee for Burrow because that man went through hell and back again. And then back again. And then back again.
Yeah.
And then back again. All the times that he got sacked, 7 times, almost 8. Would have been 8 on that last play, but he got rid of it because can't give that number. Can't give that, held that record alone.
Yeah.
He tied the record for most sacks in a Super Bowl game. So, Joe Burrow, that's a tough place to be behind that offensive line. And I feel like everyone on the offensive line should be scared because they all probably lost their job that game.
Right?
Like every single one of them is like, I am not coming back to this team.
Yeah.
Or I might be lucky if I'm a backup. You know, because like they're drafting this entire offseason. It's them looking for offensive linemen, yep. drafting offensive linemen this coming draft.
Yeah.
And all those offensive linemen they currently have are like, they should be sweating a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm pretty sure their locker rooms are being cleaned out. As they're walking off the field last night.
I mean, after the 5th one, they're like, all right, get rid of them all. All right?
Yeah.
They're like, we're done. Okay?
Yeah.
Like and if they were still, they had a chance. They still had a chance. The fact of the matter, they were still in that game, and they still were putting up an amazing fight against L.A.
Right.
Their defense was phenomenal against L.A.'s run game. L.A. couldn't do anything in the run. They lost Odo Beckham. I thought that was like, man, that's going to be really tough for them. Because all they knew, they had Cooper Kupp at that point. And they kept going to Cooper Kupp, and they couldn't find a way to stop him. And they held him on. They held on for a long time, but my goodness, it was an entertaining game. Shouts to the Rams on what they were able to accomplish. Shouts to Matthew Stafford, and Sean McVay, but that defense is the they're the heroes.
That absolutely agreed, and I thought Aaron Donald probably deserved the MVP, but Cooper Kupp was unstoppable on that last drive. And speaking of Matthew Stafford, that second and seven no look 22-yard pass to Cooper Kupp was pretty insane.
Huge. Yeah. Last play there. And you also had that big fourth down conversion where they handed it off to Cooper Kupp. They couldn't get any running going, but they handed it off to Cooper Kupp on that huge play right there.
To the man, dude.
And that those huge plays and what he was able to do, and then put an Eli Apple on a poster. Poor Eli Apple, man.
He just got flamed, dude. Everyone just hopped out of nowhere on social media just flaming.
And their grandma was talking smack on him.
Yeah.
What brought this beyond on him? What did he do to cause...
The whole week he was just talking.
Was he talking? Okay, so Eli Apple.
He was on Twitter talking, calling players out, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So I'm glad that he got, you know, he got played the whole game.
So he got lit up.
I imagine he's got to be quite the trash talker on the field for people to just be coming out of the woodworks like they were.
Everyone was. High school teammates were coming out.
Yeah, people were just flaming him, but that was interesting. What you had a funny take off air about, because all of a sudden now that Stafford has the rings, the ring, people are talking about him being a Hall of Famer, and if he should be a Hall of Famer. And your take was what?
I mean, the dude won 10 games twice with Detroit. I mean, that's Hall of Fame worthy right
insane,
there.
Yeah.
Twice with Detroit, he won 10 games. In a season, that's incredible. So Stafford, you're in it before this ring even reached your finger. I'm sorry, man, with those two seasons you had in Detroit, that's all you needed right there. So shouts to you, my man.
I do not think he deserves to get in at this point of his career. If he wins a couple more, it'll be hard to keep him out. But the guy's been to one Pro Bowl.
That's really.
Him and Mac Jones have been to the same amount of Pro Bowls.
Wow.
I mean, he's going to end his career at top 10 touchdowns and passing yards in his, you know, all time. So
zero all-pro appearances.
It's kind of hard to do when you're on Detroit.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, though. Point. I mean, he's had several, 4,000 passing yard seasons? I'm assuming so.
Again, like you said, he will end up in the top 10 in passing yards probably by the end of his career.
Damn near every single year that he was in Detroit, he had him.
Really?
Yeah, he had actually a 5,000-yard season in 2011 when he went 10-6. He had 5,036 yards and 41 touchdowns
it's
with
just,
Detroit.
You know, him compared to there's so many other quarterbacks you could go for that are on our winning teams that are just easier to vote for, you know? So, and it is not Megatron, you know, where you put up ridiculous freak-ass catches, you know?
Megatron, I miss that guy.
Megatron was absolutely impossible to block or to cover, double cover, triple cover. Didn't matter. He was an absolute freak. So shout out to Megatron, but shout out to Matt Stafford for getting his first Super Bowl title and getting out of that lowly place of that purgatory they have up there in Michigan.
I wonder if Detroit has, Lions. Like, do they feel, like, sad? They're like, you know, it's like seeing your ex getting someone really hot, you know, and like going off and like doing really well the next, and like, damn, like, are you happy for them? Like, it was an amicable split, but to a certain degree, it still has got to sting a little bit in Detroit, right? You see the guy succeeding and like having, you know, he's got these babes on his arm right now, and you're like, damn, I had that for a little bit, and now it's not mine anymore.
Yeah, but I feel like it's not apples to apples where. I think if you're a Detroit Lions fan, you know the misery it is to be there and to be a part of that organization. And so I think for the most part, they're happy for him. Like, you know, we knew he wasn't going to get one here. So.
I will say that's probably true because they're probably happy that Cincinnati didn't win because Cincinnati is very similar to Detroit in the fact that they're a trash organization. They're very cheap. They have terrible facilities. And they're probably hoping, like, dude, that trash organization can't win, okay? Like, we can't be, like, the trash organization that never won. At least, Cincinnati, at least. I mean, granted, they've been there three times now. Detroit, you've never even tasted a Super Bowl. But still, they haven't won one. So you can be like, yes, you still haven't won one, Cincinnati. So you're still with us in the bottom of the barrel. Yep. Misery loves company, am I right? I know that. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think if you're a true Detroit fan, they'll probably be happy for him. But I know who's not happy is the Cleveland Browns with the OBJ.
Oh, yeah.
He got traded. He came out and balled out. but
I mean, there are probably some sadistic ones are happy when he tore his ACL.
Well, yeah, that's
no, most likely.
Was it a torn ACL?
I think it's suspected. Yeah, speculated torn ACL.
And the
but
crazy thing is, when he tore his ACL the first time, it was against the Bengals as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So that's right.
That's kind of trippy.
So. All right. Well, we still got a lot to cover with the Super Bowl. We got to talk G-Funk. We had the whole G-Funk era on performing during the Super Bowl halftime. So we got to get back into that. But first, we got to bring in our friend, John Lucan. We got to talk a little gambling. If we could get his intro music, please, sir. There we are.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man?
All right, Mr. Lucan.
It is I.
So tell us about it. You said you had the best gambling night of your betting career. So tell the
boys,
folks.
It was better than sex. I'm gonna be just flat out honest with you. You know, a lot of things that can't beat that. But this night was one of them. So still riding high on this Monday.
All right, give us some details. What'd you hit on?
All right, so we had futures on the Rams. So this I kept pretty hush. You know, superstition. You know, throughout the year, once Matt Stafford signed with the Rams, you know, I just thought it would be a fun little bet to throw out. Plus 2,700, and that one hit. Coin toss. We went tails. Ended up losing. National anthem. Over a minute and 35 seconds, we hit on that. I hope you guys bet it like I did.
Oh, yeah, we all did. We were on that one.
Yep.
Nice. All right, so we had a first touchdown score. I said this last week that it would was good juice for everyone to take. Odell Beckham Jr. plus 1,000. That one hit. That was a good way to start the game. We also lost. I took Boyd on the Bengals for plus 1150. Obviously, can't win both of those. So, was happy with Odell Beckham, though, for sure. And then, like I was telling you guys, Super Bowl MVP, Cooper Kupp. It could have been Aaron Donald, for sure. But Cooper Kupp, plus 600. That one also hit. We had first timeout taken. I took the Bengals. That one lost. The Rams in the second quarter. But the one that I'm most proud of, the first time in, I think, 4 years of betting on this that it finally hit, I got the Gatorade bath, blue at plus 400. It was just the great ending to a great day.
It was a glacier freeze blue, I can confirm. I can just see by the hint that the tone of the blue. That's the tone of the blue,
right?
Is definitely a glacier freeze. So good on them for
right.
using the proper
and
blue
some,
Gatorade
some
as opposed
rookies,
to cool
some
blue.
That would look at that would
Cardinal
be like, oh, it's just the ice watering it down, and that's cool blue. But no, you are right, Derek. That was definitely a glacier freeze.
It's a glacier freeze.
Yeah, there's no arguing that. It was absolutely a glacier freeze.
I also, for plus 120, I also took Giroux's advice from last week's show and Aaron Donald in that front seven. I took over-under 4 sacks. I took the over for plus 120. So that was a little nice sprinkle in there as well.
There was no more obvious bet to make than that one. I mean, if the Titans got to him 9 times, you knew that the Rams with Von Miller and Aaron Donald were going to be a problem. So,
I mean, those two alone almost broke the over-under.
That's correct. So
yeah, I mean, it was to me, it was a lot of I mean, hats off to the Rams, you know, as a whole, but it was a lot of a flashback to that Broncos Super Bowl against the Panthers. You know, it was that defense was stifling. Jalen Ramsey really shocked me. He gave up a couple plays. One was questionable, obviously, on the offensive pass interference, but If you go back and look at that last play, that 4th-and-1 play that the Bengals had, Jalen Ramsey was burnt by Ja'Marr Chase down the sideline running wide open. So if Aaron Donald did not get in for that sack, we could be talking a different ball game here.
Yeah, it was close. That game could have gone either way for sure. So before we get you out of here, let's look forward to next year. I'm going to run through the top 10 odds favorites to win the Super Bowl next year real quick. And just give me maybe two or three of these that you think you would take a flyer on because of value or whatever else. So okay. Here we go. Buffalo plus 750, Kansas City plus 750, Dallas plus 1400, Rams plus 1000, Green Bay plus 1600, San Francisco plus 1400, Baltimore plus 2000, Cincy plus 1400, Denver plus 2000, Arizona plus 2500.
Man, I'm staying away from the NFC West. You know, those teams always seem to pick each other apart throughout the season. I like at 1400 for Cincy to be coming off a Super Bowl loss. Obviously the NFL gods don't think they should have been there this year. And they might have been a couple years soon, but they have a really, really good team. If they can find some offensive linemen, in the off season, they're going to be really good. So plus 1400, I like that Cincy, future bet right there.
Yeah, that's good value. I'm surprised to see your squad, Denver, at plus 2,000 in the top 10. That tells me that the odds makers know something the rest of us don't know as far as an off-season move. So, Aaron Rodgers,
right.
Perhaps?
I mean, I saw when you said Packers plus 1,600. You know, that's also kind of a good look, but it depends on where Rodgers and Devontae Adams fall this off-season. So.
No doubt. Well, to you, sir, congratulations on having a hell of a night.
And real quick, before you leave, you had a stat on the Super Bowl you wanted to say?
Oh, yeah. I hit up Brad. I tried to give it to Brad, but Brad was gracious enough to let me have it. Listening to a podcast this morning, I heard them give a kind of a fact/stat that was pretty interesting. It's both two records hold by the single season receiving yards, Calvin Johnson, Cooper Kupp, are both thrown by Matt Stafford 10 years apart.
All right. Hall of Famer Matt Stafford. There you have it. Well, again, congrats on all the gambling success, and we will catch up with you in the very near future, my friend.
All right, boys. Have a good weekend, or good week, Monday.
Likewise, sir.
Later.
All right, that was team member John Lucan, Lucan of the Futures. Nice to have that back. All right, so we got to talk about it, the halftime show. G-Funk was in the house. We had Snoop in his Crip Blue smoking a joint in the stadium, in SoFi Stadium, Crip walking at the Super Bowl halftime show. I never thought I would see a Crip walk during the Super Bowl halftime show. We all watched the game together. We had a bunch of folks over at my house yesterday. And the loudest applause that happened anytime during the game was during the Super Bowl halftime show. I didn't think there was anything extraordinary about any of the performances, but it was just nostalgia. And for me, to see that hip-hop has made it that far to have Dr. Dre saying, "Still not loving the police," during an NFL Super Bowl halftime show was incredible to me. I think we all enjoyed it. We all had a similar reaction. What am I missing here? I know you boys seem to really enjoy it as well. What were the elements that you guys appreciated the most?
I mean, obviously, huge 50 fan. It was a Dre Productions, and seeing 50 being the surprise guest on that stage was certainly entertaining. Definitely went crazy when that started happening because that album in particular had such an influence on my life. So being able to see that was super awesome. I know everyone loved Eminem, but for me, obviously, 50 was my highlight.
Yeah.
Everyone making fun of him kind of hurts a little bit. I'm like, stop making fun of 50, y'all. The guy is a mogul before all the other moguls. The guy was smart with what he did out there. The guy is a legend, not in the rap game, but in the business game as well. So shouts to 50.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's my man.
100%. I would have to agree with you with Scene 50 out there. That was pretty cool because he's out and about and he doesn't really make any music. I mean, when's the last time he came out with a song? It's been quite some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So seeing him live.
He'll hop on a feature every now and then, but he hasn't dropped an album in a long time.
Seeing him live, hanging upside down in the music video, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I think that was my highlight as well.
I think a lot of people didn't understand that, which is like, I kind of made us feel a little. I kind of realized that this is kind of an older crowd right now. Yeah, the young crowd doesn't quite get it yet. We are in the older crowd, apparently, which is sad to say right now.
Right.
But they didn't quite get that reference. I was like, no, that was
from the time
right now. Yeah. That's how it went. It would have been cool if it was kind of nice to be maybe incorporated maybe a little more L.A. into it. Having Kendrick in there was a nice little tie-in, bringing it all together, keeping the young crowd into it as well with the Kendrick action. But I would have loved to see a Tupac hologram. I think we all were looking for that.
Yeah.
We all definitely thought when California Love was playing, we were definitely going to see.
I thought for sure.
Something was going to happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all kind of, just because of what they set the standard already. They've done it before. Yeah. Why not do it on this huge stage? Because L.A. knows how to entertain. That's what we do best.
Doubt.
And they truly put on a class show that will definitely be hard to top anywhere else it goes.
Yeah, it is one of those things, like watching it and feeling that nostalgia. And I saw the tweet that I was talking about, thank God we finally got all the old fogies out of here, like the Rolling Stones and the Who. And, and I was like, oh, wait. That's us now.
Yeah, it's just cycle of life right now. Timelines have moved on. This is the group right now.
Yeah, I mean, you could criticize the performance. I mean, like I said, I didn't think the performance was like so mind blowing.
No, yeah,
it wasn't very audacious, but it was just cool. And again, it was just nostalgia to see again Snoop Dogg crip walking and a bunch of dudes in khaki outfits. See walking during the Super Bowl halftime was insane to me.
I feel like we've seen pretty. I don't know. For me, I guess we've seen plenty of dancing out there that has been risque more so than see walking.
Yeah.
On there on the Super Bowl halftime.
Just the fact that there was see walking happening during the Super Bowl is still mind.
I'm just saying. I feel like J Lo and Shakira definitely put more of that to the test than last year, and the people are trying to like. This is, I feel like, very tamed environment and a class act for the gangster rap world.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of things that could have, different elements I think they could have added to make the performance better. I would have liked if the Game made a quick appearance.
That's what I was really hoping for, too. I thought like, maybe we get a little, this is how we do with 50 and the Game mixed in there.
When I saw 50 Cent, I was like, oh, they're for sure going to bring the Game out.
Because I thought we were doing a little LA productions in there, too, and the Game is a big part of the LA hip hop rap culture.
I was hoping that we'd get a quick appearance by Warren G.
So many to look forward to, you could have asked for.
But they only had so much time,
I mean, you can't put everything into a 20-minute performance. And on all accounts, I'm pretty sure that everything is pre-recorded. And
Yes, that's correct.
It's all pre-recorded, and then they're just all lip-syncing the entire time.
Still can't believe Dre got away with saying, still not loving police, during the Super Bowl halftime. It's just an awesome moment for me personally, and it's something I'll never forget. G-Funk era at the Super Bowl halftime. I'm very curious to see where they go from here, and if they overcorrect and they bring us, I don't even know, just some old fogey.
I mean, I feel like the Super halftime shows have been very much geared towards our audience lately. Like I said, we had J Lo and Shakira last year. They always like to get the non football loving crowd music into it. I feel.
Yeah,
you know,
I love
Maroon 5. That's not football music.
That's
not football music. J Lo and Shakira, not football music at all.
G Funk is for everybody. I don't think there's anything in this country that unites the people more than G Funk. It doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, what nationality you are. You know a G Funk song. You know one of them. You know a Dre song. You know a Snoop song. I did find it odd that Dr. Dre didn't do anything pre-2001. He didn't do nothing but a G thing, anything like that. But
I also do love the fact that he was acting like he was out there producing the entire thing, like live on his fake board that he had. Yeah, his little soundboard. And I was like, just doing it. I was like, there's nothing on there that works.
Absolutely. You're not plugged in.
No, you're not plugged into anything. You are that guy that's turning the turntables and it's not plugged in. So
that's
It was great.
That's right.
Great production, though.
I did love Anderson .Paak on the drums. That was a fun little surprise as well. But overall, well done. Way to bring some nostalgia for for the people of our ilk.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the NFL will top that next year or how they're going to try. It's going to be pretty difficult.
I mean, did they have Big Boy 1 year? Hasn't Big Boy done it?
Big Boy did.
Big Boy did it a couple years ago when they were in Atlanta. Oh. When it was Atlanta, they did it.
Yeah.
But they didn't do the full Outcast, which was Andre didn't come out.
And
right?
you could have had a million
From
Atlanta rappers come out. You could have had Gucci Mane. Yeah. You could have had 2 Chainz. You know, a bunch of them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Super Bowl's in Vegas next year, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll see. Should be a good one. Hopefully.
Frank Sinatra's going to come out. They're going to do a hologram with Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra comes out, James Dean. It's one of the
whole rap pack.
No, Dean Martin, I'm sorry. Dean Martin, not James Dean. He wasn't a rap pack guy.
That'd be great. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We are talking about practice, the world's greatest sports talk radio show. You're welcome. We appreciate you checking us out this evening. We also appreciate our friends over at Payroll Plus. Owner Dolly Wendell and her staff provide payroll, workers' comp, group health insurance, employee benefits, and human resource management services consistent with ever-changing employee compliance and tax laws. Dolly at Payroll Plus can be reached at 566-0452. That's Payroll Plus, 566-0452. When are we getting Super Bowl Saturdays, boys? I'm tired of being hungover on a Super Bowl Monday. Let's just move it to Super Bowl Saturday. We've talked about it before. We don't need to make a holiday on Monday. Just simply put it on Saturday so we can all recover on Sunday. We can have our parties. We can have our food. We had quite the spread yesterday. But I am tired. I should have a day off. I should be able to relax on Sunday. Chill out. Recover.
Plus, there's nothing going on during this time of the year. That we can't move it a day prior.
Let's go.
Plus, they have a full week off now with the Pro Bowl. Before they didn't. Now they do. Now we can move it.
Yes, yeah, so it's not going to like throw them off.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, we should start a petition.
There is a petition online right now, and I encourage everyone to go ahead and sign it. Change.org has a Super Bowl Saturday petition.
Let's go.
There's over 100,000 signatures already. But go ahead and go sign that, and let's make some real change in this world for the better.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Let's do it.
All right. The news is coming up in 1 second. Real quick, just wanted to say, being that it is Black History Month on this day in American history, Frederick Douglass was born February 14th, 1818, in Talbot County, Maryland. Obviously, a slave that escaped, became an abolitionist and a human rights leader. Famous for his 4th of July speech, on and on. So, there you go. Little history. Now, some news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Oh, man. Where to start? Where to start? They're both troubling, but you know what? We'll start. They're both good. Either one will. They'll both hurt. They'll both be delicious. You'll both love them. Let's start it off right now. So we go over to our good friends in good old England right now, where they do some interesting things over there. We all do interesting things everywhere right now. In fact, you know, we're all crazy.
True.
But we all have our segments of population that try things for us that the rest of us are like, thank goodness you're there to do it for me and I can learn from your mistakes. And this is one of those moments right now where we can all learn from this man's mistake and hopefully never do it ourselves.
Let's hear it.
There's a man out there who will keep anonymous out at this point because he suffered a pretty
damn near crippling disease. And I say that, pun intended. Not crippled, damn near crippling, though. As the man has been trying to, for some time, get to the point where he can provide himself with a little self-fellatio. The man has been trying for some time to be able to do said act on his own, because his hand's not good enough, to see how, if it is possible. Fortunately for him, he pushed it too far. When he was trying to do it, he unfortunately heard himself a crack in his back.
Oh.
Sometimes that's a good thing. Not this time, though. As he put himself into severe chronic back pain because of said movement. So now, careful, guys. Don't overround yourselves, because it could be permanent. And it's not worth it. All right?
No.
There are ways to do it without having to break your back over it. I mean, there actually are ways to do it where you still break your back over it, but you can still other ways to not break your back over it. Damn. But still, careful, y'all. Don't go too far. The tip's not worth it.
Oh, my God.
Now, moving along right now, we'll keep it pushing. Keeping it pushing to the more, I mean, this is a little more, probably more, we'll see. We'll let you be the judge. Is it more troubling or not? Now, we go to another British man who is no longer wanting to be British, because he has now become identified as a transracial Korean. I'm sorry, a non-binary Korean. I apologize for mislabeling him right now. We're going to Ollie London is his name. This guy's name is London. He doesn't want to be from British. He doesn't want to be British anymore.
Wow.
And he is obviously a white male that no longer identifies as a white male. He is a non-binary Korean.
It's an ultimate slap.
Wait. Is he Korean at all?
He is not Korean at all.
What?
He is a British man.
Okay.
White British man.
Got it. Okay.
British influencer.
Got it.
Who is coming out as a non-binary Korean. Now, he is a very big fan of the K-pop scene, hence why he is transitioning over there into becoming identified as
a non-binary Korean.
Korean. Okay. Yes. Right. Now, he wants to make this as 100% as legitimate as possible. He wants to make it as authentic as possible. So what does he need to do to make that as authentic as possible? He wants his entire anatomy to reach that of a Korean man. That means bringing his penis down to size. So he is having a penis reduction surgery so that he can become 100% Korean.
That's like the most racist thing ever.
That's what determines it for this Ollie London.
That's all
that
he needs.
Is wild.
That is what he's doing. So, you can take it as for what it is. I just report the news and Ollie London and his actions right now. But you can best be sure I'm going to be keeping a follow on him. See if he really goes through with it. Because
see this go through.
That's commitment right there,
that
man.
That is the ultimate commitment.
I mean, in a world where we want more, he's like, you gave me too much. Take it away. I don't want it.
It's still too big, right?
Still too much right now, no. It must be authentic. And that's really just a shot right. Again, very racist against Koreans for Ollie London to do this. And you're Korean, my man. A non-binary Korean. How dare you disparage your people like that?
Right?
And I say that with quotations in the air. People.
Quote, unquote.
All right, Ollie London. Again, if you do it, you really mean it. If you're willing to, if you're willing to cut that off from you, like, take away. When, again, we all want as much as possible. He's serious. Wow. I guess we should take him seriously then.
Yep, fair enough.
I wonder if he identifies as North Korean. Like, is there a difference? Oh, you know, because like, question. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I'm pretty sure like North Koreans have the biggest ones out there, according to Kim Jong-un.
The biggest.
He's the best. Yeah. All right. No one's better than that.
He did invent burritos. So.
I mean, he's got the.
Wait,
the,
is that what he actually said? He invented burritos.
Yeah, like a few years ago.
He also doesn't defecate ever.
And he has the lowest recorded golf score ever.
Yeah.
What, 18?
Yep. Yeah. No, it wasn't 18. I believe it was like a 36 or something.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's... So he is does have some faults.
All right.
Yeah. I take it back. I don't want to go... He doesn't have any faults.
No, he's a smart man.
He is, yes. A beautiful man with the best ever. Gorgeous. Biggest and best.
Best here in the game, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's the news, y'all.
If you could identify
something else, what would you identify as?
Let's see. I feel like Australia would be cool.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're convicts, and they've come a long way. And I think that's just, like, a great stepping stone.
Yeah.
It's like, man, look how, you know, and they have great accents. Like, Australian accents are probably
them.
Probably coolest. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have some really pretty women down there, too.
They do.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time to class up the show. Bring in our foreign correspondent, Aaron, to give us some Olympic updates. Aaron, what is going on?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, girl?
What is up? So you told me off air that you have some heartwarming stories, and damn it, we need it today because we are feeling low. The morale in here is a little lower than usual, so help us out.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite things about the Olympics, the stories that you hear. And my favorite story I think that I have heard is this guy, Nick Bumgartner. He's a snowboarder. He's 40 years old. He does the snowboard racing. And this year they did a new event. It was a mixed team, so it was a man and a woman. So it was Nick Bumgartner and Lindsay Jacobellis. Nick Bumgartner, this is his fourth Olympics. He's never won a medal. He did an interview after his individual race where he didn't make it, and he was just, you know, heartbroken because he didn't win a medal. He's, you know, crying a little bit. And then they're like, no, Nick, but you qualify for, you know, the mix. And he's like, oh, my, it's just his just joy, just elation that he had. And then he and Lindsay Jacobellis go on to win the gold for America. Just a really, really beautiful story to see and watch unfold.
Yeah,
thank
sorry.
You.
Sorry.
I think Brad just totally forgot he was on air. I don't know.
He was watching Curling right now. And the guy lifted his arms in praise for Curling.
Yeah, we had a great straw behind their blocker, okay?
All right, Aaron, this is what happens with us.
I was immensely
This is the type of professionalism we have around here. My man might as well have had his feet on the table. He checked out of this show entirely. All right, what's been your favorite part of the Olympics so far this year?
I think some of the comeback stories are really great. Nathan Chen, I think it's another great story. He's a figure skater, really the best in the world, did not have a good Olympics in 2018, didn't even medal. This year, just incredible performances. He had the highest scores ever in his short program and in his long program. I mean, just really incredible to see. And it's, you know, he was talking about how his hard work has paid off. He's been so dedicated. And so I've really enjoyed seeing him, coupled with the fact that I do really enjoy figure skating. So
I do want to let you know, Aaron, you're giving me a little bit of crap last week because of the crap I was talking about figure skating. But I do want you to know, I might still hate figure skating, but I do pay attention enough to know that there's a difference between the top art of figure skating and ice dancing.
Yep.
And I was schooling Rudy last night about this, how we were watching, like, oh, man, look at this figure skating. I was like, no, these are ice dancers. These are the inferior breeds of figure skaters.
Yeah.
They don't jump. And every single time they lift, he's like, oh, my gosh, that's a jump. I was like, no, that's a lift. A lift and a jump, very different. They don't jump in ice dancing. They only lift. Like little pansies. I'm sorry, ice dancing, you are the bastard children of figure skating.
Yeah. So, it's kind of an embarrassment, personally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Derek, because I had no idea. And now I know everything about the difference between the two. So
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're all better people for it.
Yes, 100%.
Except for ice dancers. They're still worse.
Yes. The bottom of the barrel.
You got anything you're looking forward to before the Olympics wrap here, Aaron?
I mean, you know, Brad and I have been on a curling kick. I have really just become enamored with this men's team. They are playing right now. You know, last Olympics, they did win gold. They came from behind. They're not behind yet, but if they lose, I'll probably cry.
Yeah, it's going to be a big loss. We're playing against Switzerland right now in the fifth inning, and it's a kind of a winner go home for both of these squads right now. Oh, wow. So.
I do also have to give a quick shout out. Last week we were talking about how bad the U.S. is at Olympics because the medal count was so low. But I will say we've come back. We are third overall in the number of medals out there,
nice.
Third overall in gold medals obtained.
Mm-hmm.
So USA finally realizing, flexing our muscles right now.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, Norway, man. Norway is just like, they're trying to show the world that like white people are still good at sports, I feel. They're like, you know what? We can still put them out there, right?
I mean, it's the Winter Olympics.
Sports is, wrong. It's not really sports they're doing, right? I mean, they do like weird skiing stuff and bizarre jumping with skis. I think calling it sports is aggressive. But I mean, despite the fact that I love the Olympics.
I mean, they're putting out some of the best track runners out on the planet right now. Okay, so I'm just simply saying it's not just winter sports, too.
Really?
So, yeah. They have, I mean, the guy broke the world record in the 400-meter hurdles in incredible fashion, a record that we thought would never be broken, or at least very stand for a long time, and he damn near shattered it. So, really?
And he was from Norway.
From Norway.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Shout out to
a
Norway.
A short little white guy, too. He's not even that tall. It's
no.
Strange.
Damn. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That is bizarre.
I'm just saying. They're trying to make a point, I think, you know? All right.
It's our time. Or their time, I should say.
All right, Aaron, you got anything for us on your way out?
Yeah, Sam Ryder at golf this weekend, the hole-in-one with the beer shower. If you didn't see it, watch it. It's incredible. It just makes me love golf so much.
The TPC tournament.
Yep.
Has the loudest hole in golf.
Yep, hole 16.
18,000 people there? Around
that's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen some louder holes out there.
All right. With that, Aaron, thanks as always for joining the show. We'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later. Oh, my God.
Wow. All right. All right.
Did you want to do a North State update, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. All right. Once again, time for the North State Update. We're going to start off with the women's basketball team for Chico State. Coming back from a slow start at the beginning of the year, they have been on quite the tear. A 5-game win streak, putting them at 9-5 in the conference, sitting at second right now in conference rankings. So, third in conference rankings. Men are in second right now, but definitely building their way back up from the beginning of the year. And with only 4 games remaining, setting themselves up for at least a home game in the first round of the playoffs for the CCAA. Now, next game the women will be playing will be at Cal State LA and Cal State San Marcos, their last SoCal trip, and quite a big game against Cal State San Marcos, which is atop of the CCAA for women. And they'll be finishing off the season against Cal State Dominguez Hills and Cal State East Bay at home. That'll be February 24th and 26th. Now, on to the men. This past weekend, they had a no contest against Cal State Monterey Bay, which did not help them in the rankings. They really needed that game in the CCAA and also for the national rankings.
Wait, a no contest?
A no contest for COVID. So there wasn't enough players to play. Gotcha. Not a win, not a loss. I didn't find out whose team.
Gotcha.
They didn't divulge that. But no win, no loss. But they came in and beat San Francisco State in overtime. And this weekend will be huge for Chico State, playing against one of the top teams in the CCAA and has a national ranking, Cal State San Marcos, this Saturday the 19th. That game will be played at San Marcos at 3 p.m. So check them out on KPAY Sports 1290 here in Chico. They'll be playing Cal State LA on Thursday. Big games. Again, Chico State dropped to number 14. Hopefully next week we'll see the rankings jump up a little bit with that win from San Francisco State. And if they can get this win against Cal State San Marcos, they will most likely jump up in the CCAA to get that first spot in the playoffs and hopefully jump up and take that number one seed in the West region, which is going to be huge for the NCAA tournament. And that is your North State Update.
Thank you. Go Wildcats. I wanted to talk a little bit about the NBA trade deadline, as there's a lot that happened over the weekend. And staying close to Chico, what's going on with the Kings?
They could just never get it right, man.
They're, I feel like they're the A's of the NBA.
They're going all in for a play-in game to make the play-in tournament to just get bounced.
I think they licked their chops when they see a European player that they can get, and they're just like, ooh, white European player. Yes! Reminds us of Lotte days, you know?
I guess.
And they keep going for that because you had a guy, a hometown guy in Halliburton, who apparently liked playing for y'all for some reason. Like,
right?
That's and a that rarity was... in itself. The fact that you have a guy that wants to play with y'all, yeah. And you're like, no. You want us? No, there's something wrong with you. That was probably what they're like, wait, you want me right now? No. You don't want you. There's something wrong with you if you want me. Yeah. I am dumb. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. And you want me? No, you got to go.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, you're clearly you have no idea what you want in life.
And that was a franchise player for coming up for the Kings. Like, he had the potential to build around.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
He showed out.
They decided to stick with De'Aaron Fox. I mean, we'll see how that plays out.
Bad idea.
I think De'Aaron Fox is good. I don't think he's great.
He's good, yeah.
But I think Halliburton's upside was possibly higher. And
no, I'm no Kings insider. God forbid that. But I did hear that they would not have taken De'Aaron Fox. It was only for Halliburton.
Really?
Halliburton was all they would have taken for that.
Wow.
I'm just shocked they just didn't they didn't keep him just and got rid of Hield. Hield would have been a better trade piece. I know.
Well, they did get rid of Hield.
No, but just him only.
They probably wanted
I mean, yeah.
It'd be nicer to give up, nothing and get something.
They have made poor decisions the past 20-some-odd years and have not recovered since.
Well, they got rid of Marvin Bagley, who they drafted number 2 overall. And remember, Luka Doncic was still available when they drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just run through. We've done this exercise, and I'm sure we'll flame them again and do it again at some point when you just go through their draft classes miss after miss. Even when they got someone who's okay – it's always like the player drafted right behind them or a couple of spots behind them
is now an all-star.
Yeah.
Or the player they did draft goes on to other teams and does better things there.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Poor Kings.
The fans that are out there of Kings fans, I salute you. I'm sorry for y'all.
Yeah, shout out to Darren. Shout out to Jonah.
I mean, I kind of feel their pain right now being Kings a Laker fans right now. Like, they're trash. Yeah. So I kind of know what it feels like to be trash for a little bit, you know? Like, I identify kind of as a Kings fan a little bit. I can see why...
they've been terrible for 2 decades now, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Not been good since the Chris Webber days.
Yeah.
It's sad. If you're a Kings fan, that's just got to be tough. Other notable trades, the Bucks get Serge Ibaka, helping them shore up that defensive, rim protection. Kristaps Porzingis gets traded to the Wizards. And obviously the big trade we got to talk about. Can you hit me with the player haters ball, please?
Oh, absolutely.
I think y'all know where I'm going with this one. It's pretty, pretty obvious.
The player haters ball.
Oh man, hey.
Why you wanna play a hate on me?
I love the NBA, as you all know. I'm a hoop head, and I'm not gonna just stop watching. However, if I'm a moderate NBA fan, or let's say I'm an NHL guy, because it's hard to really love the NHL and the NBA. I've tried it, and it's just, you're just watching games every single night. But let's say I'm a moderate NBA fan even, and I'm having someone who is in the hoops explain this to me. So you're telling me that bearded guy James Harden, who is down in Houston, showed up out of shape, acted completely unprofessional, threw the ball out of bounds, and just acted like a jerk to his teammates, gets his way, makes his way out of Houston, and gets to go to Brooklyn to form a super team. So he gets his way. And then, after the super team doesn't particularly work out, mainly because of injuries and bad timing and
Kyrie Irving not playing home games.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving's objection to getting shots.
One shot, like not like shots.
He didn't want to get the jab. He didn't want to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
So he's playing only road games as he's not allowed to play in Brooklyn per state laws. And so that team only gets 16 games together. James Harden gets shipped out to play with what many consider the best player in the league right now, in Kevin Durant. And then he makes us think about it and says, no, this isn't good enough for me. I want to go elsewhere. I want to be in Philly. Meanwhile, over in Philadelphia, they have a guy who absolutely melted down in front of the entire world in the playoffs last year, passed up an open dunk, and basically became a meme for a while, who decided, you know what? I'm not playing this season, even though I have four, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4 years left on his contract. Said, I don't want to play. My teammates are mean. So he shows up this offseason, plays with his phone in his pocket, is answering his phone during a scrimmage. He's asked to leave, makes a stink about it, and then conveniently has mental illness problems. Now, I don't want to trivialize mental illness, but I think by him conveniently having it at this point in his life kind of trivializes it in itself and makes people like myself question, are you really struggling with mental illness, or do you not like people talking bad about you? And so you're going to tell me, let's say again, I'm a moderate NBA fan, don't know much about what's going on. You're going to tell me that this guy who acted like a complete jerk, pushed his way out, and ended up getting what he wanted and gets to go play with one of the greatest players, if not the best player in the league right now. And the other guy who made us think about it was acted totally unprofessional, is now going to opt out of his contract and get a max extension in Philadelphia. And he ultimately gets his way and gets to play with one of the best players in the league right now, Joel Embiid, after already playing with one of the best players in the league. This player empowerment, I love it for the players. I love it for the worker, but this is ridiculous, and their poor behavior is being rewarded, and it bugs me. I hate that Ben Simmons and James Harden got their way after acting like bleep holes. Player haters ball, y'all.
I mean, I think both teams got better with the trade.
Yeah, they probably did.
I think it works out for both. I think both of them should be kind of happy with it right now.
It's just annoying.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I mean, we all know my takes on James Harden. I mean, the guy's got a sack, okay? Like, that soft-ass chin. You know, it's hard to redeem that in my life, you know? Like, you're kind of dead to me at this point in time.
Yeah.
Either get some chin implants or don't talk to me right now, you know? Keep that yap shut, my dude, okay? That sack.
That would be awesome.
Chin implants?
Yeah. I would love that.
And I mean, maybe talking about, you know, Kevin Durant. I've come to realize Kevin Durant looks like a dingleberry. Like, that's like what I feel like he's become right now. You know?
Wow.
An actual dingleberry. Yeah. That's what he is to me.
That is pretty low.
Yeah. But he looks like what I'm just saying. He looks like a dingleberry to me.
I've never seen a dingleberry up close, but okay.
Well, I'd hope you don't.
Yeah, you kind of just wipe him away. You
know? Yeah.
I'm not like examining my dingleberries. I'm just saying it's like what I imagine a dingleberry to be is it's Kevin Durant.
Fair enough. He does need to do something about that hair.
Just something. Yeah.
Like, cut it and brush it once.
And his ashy ankles don't help the case either.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
That boy did not learn self-care.
I was going to
say. That tells me that he's been messing around with mediocre women for far too long.
It's one thing you know. It's always lotion it up.
No.
Always.
I know we don't have much time, but you want to do a quick update on the world of soccer?
Yeah. Just a quick little time to let you all know about the footballing life.
Here we go.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely throw a ball out of Barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
That is right, y'all. Foot and mouth. Football is back. Champions League is back tomorrow. Woohoo! Let's go, baby. Starts out with a big swinging two right now. We got PSG, Real Madrid in Paris. Titans are clashing, y'all. Titans are clashing. Messi facing off against his Real Madrid counterparts from his Barca days. This shall be a delicious matchup to watch. Do not miss it. 12 o'clock tomorrow, Champions League. It's finally back. Thank you, Jesus. We needed it this time in our lives. Football's done for you guys, but football is just beginning for the rest of us. Let us go. Also going on, Man City, Sporting, CP, they're going at it as well. If you know me, you know how much I love watching Man City play. Probably my most favorite team to watch right now. They're a great team to watch. Cannot miss them. But PSG, Real Madrid, that's where your eyes want to be tuned to. Do not miss out. And then the day after that, Wednesday, Inter Milan versus Liverpool. That's a good matchup right there. Inter, they're leading Serie A, but they are struggling to keep away from AC Milan. It's going to be a fun little action going on there. And you also got Salzburg, Bayern Munich as well. My goodness, the action does not stop. Champions League, round of 16, knockout stages. Whew.